This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mid Gaming Hall. Ian Franklin, Kentucky, our closer, Jensen Lewis back home in Cleveland, Ohio. And again, everybody, we've got an early bird special right now for you. $175. You can get full access to everything we do as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Daily best bets, betting splits, data, AI power, prop projections, 24/7 video access, and that NFL betting guide. It is out right now. We cannot wait for the NFL season to begin. So just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Get your hands on this early bird special. Going to have the King of Connecticut, Will Hill, join us later on in this very hour. But we're going to stay in the great state of Connecticut, Jensen, to kick off this hour with David Bierman. You can give him a follow on X at David Bierman. Betting with Bierman does a great job at Sportsline and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. David, welcome to the program, my friend. You know, the Open, it's maybe my favorite out of the four major championships that we have each and every year. Because Jensen knows I'm nocturnal. I like to stay up later, get up early, and then stay up all day and just watch golf for as long as I can. I think we're talking about a lot of things and maybe not as much about Ryan Fox winning this championship. Where do you even begin to look back on what we just saw over the last 4 days at Royal Birkdale?
I mean, sure, there's the Bryson DeChambeau show, and then there's Scottie Scheffler still not winning, and there's a whole bunch of other topics. Rory just kind of in neutral. You got to give Ryan Fox credit. He went and got it. This is a guy who barely made the cut on, you know, barely made it after a terrible first round, gets in at even par, wakes up and shoots a 62 before any of us even realize he did it, and followed up with a 68 weekend. But what I like about what I saw about Ryan Fox on Sunday, he didn't have a terribly great round. He only shot a 68. But what he did on the back nine and birdieing four of the last six holes with all the pressure in the world on him, he rebounded twice from horrible breaks of balls bouncing into the wrong side of bunkers. He had hit a shot out backwards just a couple holes before he won the event. Think about that. The guy hit a shot back and still went and won the Open, and he won it in great fashion. He hits a drive 330 down the middle on the second hardest hole on the golf course. Hits an approach to within 11 feet, and then within 20 seconds hits an 11-foot putt to win on the 72nd hole. You just don't see that at major championships when you used to seeing guys lip out three-footers, go to playoffs, hit the ball in the water. And here's a 40-year-old New Zealand who no one's ever heard of going out and just grabbing it and taking it. And you got to give him credit for accomplishing all that because he's not a household name, and he just shows up. And I mean, he had a Thursday that people like, and he went bananas starting on the 62-68. So give him credit for taking it.
David, again, we have another bridesmaid moment for Sam Burns. And I mean, you would talk about within 20 seconds, basically, Ryan Fox goes in and nails the birdie to win it. But more so the crescendo we've seen from Sam Burns the last handful of majors, maybe even the last year or so in these big tournaments. Yes, it's been close. But what do we take away from Burns now from a betting perspective? Is it starting to get to that point where, you know, with Xander, top 20, like he's been one of those course horses at certain places. Do we finally start to get Sam Burns into that major territory where you always have to look at him in those placement markets?
I look at him as the Xander before Xander won two major titles a couple of years ago to finally get that monkey off his back. He's good. He just isn't a closer yet. And that's what Xander's problem was. Xander was your top 10, top 20. We used to call him our personal ATMs because he would just cash tickets for us in the positional market, but he wasn't winning. And Sam Burns is similar to Xander, not only not winning majors, but he hasn't won an event in a long time, but he keeps showing up and he keeps doing well. He just has that Sunday clutch gene that's missing that Xander eventually found. Once Xander won on the tour again, he started making runs and winning two majors. I think we'll get there with Burns eventually. And yes, I have no problem, Jensen, playing him in a major in a top 10 and top 20. I'm just not going to play him to win until he shows me he has that clutch gene. You know, Cam Young was like that last year before he started winning this year, not at the major, but he's won a bunch of events. And you have, you know, Ludwig Åberg is in that position now. The guy just disappears on Sunday. And if you look at what Sam Burns did, he actually hit the ball well off the tee. His approach shots were just all over the map. And that's where you start looking at the mental aspect of the game, because anybody's going to step up and hit it as hard and as far as they can. But when you're sitting there in the middle of the fairway, 210 out, and you throw it in the bunker repeatedly, which is what Sam Burns did on Sunday, you start wondering, is he getting the right club? Is he getting the right swing? I've never seen a broadcast where I've heard the announcer say, hit that one wrong, or that didn't feel good so many times like they did with Sam Burns on Sunday. He just wasn't hitting it flush from the fairway.
He removed himself rather quickly with the back-to-back-to-back bogeys on the front side, kind of held it together for a while, but just couldn't make any putts coming in for a guy who's regarded as one of the best putters in the world. You mentioned a couple names there, and, you know, when we talk about the futures market now, we got to wait a long time to get to Augusta National, but we will have the FedEx Cup playoffs, and we'll see a lot of these guys playing in that FedEx Cup playoffs, so try to get that monkey off the back. Tommy Fleetwood was right there at 8-under par, going to the ninth hole, very gettable, flies the green, makes three bogeys in a row. Siwoo Kim, a great ball striker, was right there. These are all top 10 finishes, by the way, at the Open Championship. Was right there, tied for the lead, 10-under par. He falters down the stretch. You mentioned Ludvig, who's got all the talent in the world. He gets a backdoor top 10, but never felt like he was even part of the mix. And then, of course, Sam Burns and Cameron Young, who goes out there and shoots an incredible 64, but he did bogey 18 with a questionable decision out of the bunker. Maybe he is a first-time major. David, in short, who's the greatest player or best player right now to have never won a major championship on tour?
I think Tommy Fleetwood's the best player overall who has never won that major. He takes over the title from Xander Schauffele, who took it over from Sergio Garcia before that. It's Tommy Fleetwood, and the issue with Tommy Fleetwood is, especially on the PGA Tour, the only event he's won is the Tour Championship last year, which was a 30-golfer field. So he has yet to beat a full field in any significant event on the American Tour. Obviously, he won a bunch overseas. He also plays well in many events, but isn't closing the doors on Sunday. He finished with a nice birdie on the 72nd hole, but that's Tommy in a nutshell. Plays his way out of it on Sunday and then finishes strong and gets a top 10, top 5. He's someone that I eventually think will win a major championship. It was maybe a little bit too much pressure him playing at home, but he played well for probably 60 of the 72 holes, just didn't get off to a good start on Sunday. I think he's the best one to have not won a major. I would throw Cam Young in there, but Cam Young is kind of younger and just now getting to a point where he's contending in a couple of majors. He's won big events like Doral. He's won big events like the Players' Championship. Tommy hasn't won any of those. So Tommy needs to win a PGA Tour event that's more than a 30-man field before we actually think he's going to win a major. But I think both of them, when all is said and done, will win one big event before we're done.
All right, David, when we watched Scottie Scheffler, I was lucky enough to get a top five cashed again here, albeit the amount of putts you could take throughout this Open Championship that he usually puts in, this should have been as sweat-free a winner as we should have had in any of the majors for him this year. Your analysis on kind of where his game is at, and for a guy that, you know, the early in the year was like, oh, hey, remember the first round starts on Thursday, instead of him just going blitzkrieg on a Friday and through the rest of the field, your thoughts on where we are with Scotty and from a bettable perspective moving forward, where would your handicap be for still the best player in the world?
I'm not worried about Scotty at all, because the Scotty that I saw this past weekend, like you said, should have won this event. He's playing like this past weekend at the Open, he played like the Scotty that dominated last year, hitting every fairway, hitting every green, missing putts. And remember, when Scotty was hot in the last couple of years playing like Tiger, he wasn't great with the putter either. He was just so much better than everybody off the tee and on approach. You can get away with not being great at the putter, maybe being 50th or 60th in the world with the flat stick and winning. The issue earlier this year with Scotty, with winning only one event, was his irons weren't that good. He was still being fine off the tee, but his irons were not getting within 15 to 10 feet that we're used to, the Tiger Woods type approach. He was 20, he was 25 feet. He was just two putting every hole because he wasn't getting close enough with his irons. What I saw over the weekend at the Open and what I saw 3 weeks ago at the Travelers right here in our backyard was irons that are right back to putting Scotty at the top. Eventually, he'll hit those putts. That's what turned Scotty from a top 20 golfer to the number one golfer in the world, as he started hitting some putts. He'll get there. And I mean, Scotty played tee to green as well as anybody in the entire field. He just could not get any putts in, like you mentioned. And it's not like he was missing by a lot. The guy has a birdie putt on almost every single hole, and it was a lip left, a lip right, a little far. It's very frustrating, but if anybody can figure out, it's Scotty. He's that close to winning this event this past weekend by four or five shots with a sweat-free round, like you said.
Well, we have about 2 minutes to go here with David Bierman, betting with Bierman at David Bierman on X. Let's get to it. The elephant in the room here. Not a good week for Rory. Turned out to be not a great week for Bryson DeChambeau. Players are also asked about, is he a cheater? I mean, we got into some depths here in places you normally don't want to go in the world of golf. David, where were you and where are you on the whole controversy of Bryson DeChambeau?
I mean, a penalty is a penalty. Now, I could sit there and tell you that I think some of the rules of golf are just dumb, and I think we would all agree that some of their rules that date back 200 years are just stupid. You know, like you hit the ground before the ball, or you move a little pebble. It's golf rules. I also think it's highly unfair that, you know, some shots are on TV and some shots are not, and they get to be called in from home or a Twitter feed. That being said, Bryson violated the rules, and by the letter of the law, he violated the rules. It's a two-shot penalty. He should accept it and move on. I didn't like all the antics that he went, going back to the hole, throwing a hissy fit, going to the range, pretending he's not going to play when we all knew he was going to play, and basically making it all about Bryson. That needs to stop. Now, if the tour wants to have this whole Bryson's the villain and Rory's this and Scotty's that, that's fine. Make it WWE and give out belts after rounds. That's what they're trying to do. But I don't think it's necessarily great for the game, and I don't actually disagree with Rory saying what he did, because Bryson made it about him. He held the tour hostage by not releasing tee times for hours while we waited for the ruling. It just, Bryson needs to just show up and play. He violated the rules, take the two-shot penalty and go on. That said, it's a stupid penalty. A lot of the rules of golf are dumb, but it is, like, you know, I don't think the road outside should be 35 miles an hour, but if I go 45, I'm going to get a ticket. You got to abide by the rules, and he stomped on the ground behind the ball. You can't do that. That's what it is.
Such a nuanced conversation, David. Appreciate the time wrapping up the Open. What a wild 4 days it was in Royal Birkdale. Come on back. Talk to some baseball. Daily Diamond is up next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
The NFL preseason is only a couple of weeks away, and the best bettors are already getting ahead of the game. Lock in for early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up. You will get instant access to our 2026 and 2027 NFL betting guide that's out right now, plus our upcoming college football betting guide, giving you everything you need to attack those futures, win totals, conference races, and the upcoming season before kickoff. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get with full VSiN Pro access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with David Bierman in the last segment. I'll have more to say about this tomorrow and find out if America can handle the truth. But right now, Jensen Lewis, it's time to talk some Major League Baseball. And yes, it's time for today's edition of the Daily Diamond. We're going streaking. They clearly have gone streaking in Beantown. 13 wins in a row here for the Red Sox, going to take on the Orioles today after sweeping away the Rays. Jensen, do you want to get in front of the train that is the Boston Red Sox?
I don't, but the argument could be pretty stringent if you consider the Baltimore Orioles have the second most wins in Major League Baseball since July 1st. Only the Red Sox have more. So you have two pretty potent forces headed straight at each other in a good old-fashioned American League East showdown. I did lay the $1.41 on the Red Sox at Novig, looking like Circa is one of the better prices now on Boston at minus $1.38. Some of the numbers to keep in mind here, Baltimore actually is underwater. They're 12-14 on the money line as a road underdog, which they are tonight. I'd also look at the under if you can find a nine, Dave. Boston 26-19-3 to the under as a home team there at Fenway Park in 2026. And you got a guy, as I mentioned before, it is going to be Peyton Tolley that's going to get the ball for the Boston Red Sox. Outside of Jake Bennett, you have two of the top 14 starting pitchers the last couple of weeks in Major League Baseball in Bennett and Tolley. Shane Boz going for the Orioles tonight, so should be a tightly contested matchup, but I'll stay with the hottest team going, man. Give me win number 14 for the Boston Red Sox on the money line tonight.
But the Dodgers and the Phillies, Dodgers, you know, not great before the break, come out a little indifferent. Both teams against the Yankees over the weekend and the Boogie Down continue this now on the East Coast swing. And now you go to the Phillies. So if it's not a Dodgers-Yankees preview in a World Series, I wonder if we might get a Dodgers-Phillies preview starting tonight at Citizens Bank Park.
Well, I think that would be great for me from a future standpoint now with La Roja, Spain, lifting the trophy in the World Cup, parlayed with the Phillies to win the World Series. Now have a 109-1 Phillies World Series ticket. That is going to be juicy, especially if they find their way into the National League Championship Series. Could that be a preview tonight? Well, the pitching matchup, pretty good. Emmett Sheehan going to go for the Dodgers here, plus $1.13 at DraftKings, plus $1.19 at Circa. Rarely, Dave, do we get Christopher Sanchez at this short of a money line favorite price. It is going to be a Phillies money line play, I think, for me tonight. Only one time this year have the LA Dodgers been a road underdog. Let me say it again. One time this year, Dave, the Dodgers have been a road underdog, which they will be tonight. They are 1-0 in that scenario, but I will much rather back Christopher Sanchez, looking for a bounce back here. I'm sure he's got the All-Star outing in his mind and wants to kind of alleviate what that looked like for him. A little extra rest for him to get going. Phillies are 26-16 as a home favorite on the money line, which they will be tonight. And I will look it up here real quickly and see what the Phillies are and Christopher Sanchez starts overall this year. I would wager that it has been pretty solid. 14-6 they are, the Phillies are, when Christopher Sanchez takes the ball here. So winners of four of the last five Christopher Sanchez starts, including a couple of those at home, an 8-0 shutout win over the Pirates, 15-3, a drubbing of the Mets the last couple of times he has taken the ball at Citizens Bank Park for the Phillies, as he will tonight.
We've already tried to block that one out of the memory bank here, Jensen, for Met fans. White Sox and Rangers will do battle deep in the heart of Texas. Kind of keep waiting for the Rangers to get on the good foot and go. White Sox continuing after the break. Pretty good series to begin it with a series win against Toronto. What do you expect down there in Arlington today?
Boy, intriguing pitching matchup tonight, Dave. Eric Fetty is going for the Chicago White Sox, and all he's done is been a run prevention pitcher in a really consistent way. Nine consecutive starts entering tonight, Dave, where he has surrendered three runs or fewer. I very much like the under angle tonight because on the other side, we get old Jacob DeGrom at Globe Life Park there in Arlington. Seven of his eight home starts this year, Dave, he has allowed two runs or fewer. I sniff a first five under from our great friend Will Hill. This might be one of those first five that he likes to tackle, but I'll stay with the full game total under eight. If you can find an eight, I would grab it just for that half run push ability there. The 7.5 usually scares me where you might get a run there in the ninth to push it to a 5-3 or something like that. So I'd rather pay a little bit extra to get to that under eight, if that's what you can find. But again, two guys that have been going really well, and particularly what Eric Fetty has done in nine consecutive starts spanning a couple of months. So under eight, the 7.5, I'm not as confident on. So I want a flat eight if I'm going to play that under there tonight.
Stay out west here in the American League with the Mariners. Reds coming to town here. Maybe, again, challenging when it comes to scoring runs tonight here at T-Mobile Park?
Yeah, I mean, I got burned on all the unders yesterday, so I'm going right back to the well. Why the hell not? Andrew Abbott, actually, a good spot to back here. Five of his last eight road starts, Dave, allowing three runs or fewer. And I also get George Kirby on the mound for the Seattle Mariners tonight. They have been pretty productive to the under as a home favorite, which they are here. 25-18, the Mariners, 7 games over .500, if you will, playing the under. Again, this is an under 8 that I'd rather pay up for a little bit, Dave. It is at 7.5 in a lot of different places. The Reds just coming from Coors Field. Boy, you could not get two different places. A lot of runs in Denver. You will not get a lot of runs, I think, in this series with the way the Mariners pitching staff has been. And to that end, Dave, the Mariners have been inconsistent offensively here. So yeah. I'll take Abbott and his ability to neutralize here, especially away from Great American Ballpark. Let's play an under 8 between the Reds and the Mariners later on tonight.
You know, you look at Seattle now, they've played exactly 100 games, 62 to go, and they're sitting at 50-50. This is a team that I think you and I both look at and say, boy, if they hit their ceiling, they could be arguably the best in the American League, but we haven't really seen that yet. Like, we haven't seen that ceiling here, Jensen. Some people are now starting to question whether or not the vaunted rotation that we look in, day out is really as vaunted as I think we're led to believe on paper. The Rangers are still a half game up in this division. Out of those two teams, and it does feel like a two-horse race with all due respect to Houston, who's only 4 games back, but they're on a 4-game losing skid. We don't know what they're going to do at the trade deadline. The Athletics and the Angels, they're done for the year. When you handicap those two teams at the top of the West, do you look at it like both of these teams have underachieved? Because certainly feels like Seattle, at least to date, has not been as good as we think they can be.
Oh, Seattle has way underachieved offensively. Third worst run scoring team in baseball this year, and they are dead last in batting average. Yet, Dave, they are 50-50. And that just tells you how ridiculously good that their pitching staff is. The rotation, lowest walks per nine in baseball, fifth best rotation ERA, third lowest walks, hits per inning pitched. You're just not creating traffic against that rotation. I would believe that we are counting the starts remaining for Luis Castillo in a Mariner uniform. That has been the name that has really surfaced a lot in where Jerry DePoto, their president of baseball operations, has been looking to shop one of their starters to get a middle of the order bat. And you would envision that it's probably a right-handed bat, but I don't think they're going to be too particular in that regard. I would say with Texas, and it was only the Rangers and the Orioles at the beginning of the year that I played 30-1 World Series futures on respectively. Texas has found a way because the back end of their bullpen has actually been way better than actually I think on paper we thought they would be this year. It still is league average to a touch under that. But let's face it, it's about the consistency of their offense. They're 24th in runs scored. They're 18th in homers. They don't score a lot. Or they don't steal a lot of bases. So what can you get series in and series out? This is a hell of a stretch for Texas right now. Home against Chicago, then they get 4 head-to-head against Seattle, then they got to go down to Tampa to take on the Rays. So it could be moving day in the American League West race here quite quickly, knowing it's a 4-game head-to-head series beginning on Friday night.
To win the ALCS, look at the difference in the odds for those two teams, even though the Rangers have a half-game lead. Plus 475 on Seattle, plus 750 on the Rangers. So at least in the betting market, they're still believing Seattle is the superior team out of those two teams out west. What does Will Hill think? We always like to get his opinions on this program as well. The King of Connecticut will join us with some of his baseball bets that he has and maybe some football selections as well. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. And Jensen, there is a great documentary that's coming out here. If you've not checked it out yet, Circus Survivor. The documentaries that we have out right now are absolutely fantastic. Again, if you're not playing Circus Survivor, you don't even have to enjoy this documentary. So it's going to be out right here if you're watching on YouTube TV, certainly FanDuel Television as well. You got to check out our new Circus Survivor doc that is already out here on the network. We'll give you those details a little bit later on in the program. But right now, he is the King of Connecticut. He is also the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. The one and only Will Hill, give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Will, good morning to you, sir. Have you recovered from maybe some lack of sleep if you got up early to watch the British Open, as we call it here in the United States?
The sleep has been fine. The sleep is not an issue. The rectal region took a little bit of a hit with the Sam Burns ticket. That has not recovered yet. But hey, that's betting golf. And you know, you and I were just talking about off air how it's hard to hedge with golf, which I've made the point in the past. It's not always easy to hedge with golf. You start, you know, going, I'll bet this guy or that guy. You can make a mess of it, especially when you're hedging some bigger payouts. But I think, and I made a mistake, and I'm not going to make the mistake again going forward. There was a clean hedge going into Sunday. You got to get on these prediction markets. You really have to, because they offer the yes-no price, which the traditional sports books, the offshore stuff, they don't offer the yes-no. Yes. So you just have to pick a guy, and it's not a clean hedge. But I think Burns going into Sunday, Saturday afternoon, he's done playing the no on Burns. So basically you're betting the field -$1.55, -$1.60. When you're sitting on a 45-1, it's almost the responsible thing to do. Now, I know some people are team no hedge. I don't hedge no matter what. I made the bet. I want to go for it, which is a completely respectable and understandable philosophy. But, I mean, and it's easy to say now. And I thought he was going to win going into Sunday. I really thought the Sunday scar tissue would help him. I thought the guys behind him, I wasn't really scared of. Maybe Kim could catch him, but the other guys weren't really major champions. And the ones that were so far back. But that's the way going forward. I think I'm going to learn that lesson. I'm going to take that away from this tournament, that use the prediction markets and earn off it, monetize it, the term you guys always use, because, man, to be that close to a 45-1 and a really nice payout, is it's tough to walk away with nothing. It's tough to walk away losing. So that was add that to the list. Add that to the pile. We've all got these scars, just like Burns does on Sundays. We all got these scars as bettors, as golf bettors, and golf will leave with some rough bets. But that's something I got to learn going forward.
Amen. You and me, and fortunately, you probably didn't have a St. Louis Cardinals money line bet yesterday that had a 99% win percentage. And that one did not get across the line for me. It happens. I've blown leads on the mound before, but we've also been able to save some games. And that kind of the theme of where we're going. I told Dave, I said, I have a sneaky suspicion that we'll get a first five wager from Will Hill today, just looking at some of the pitching matchups today. You went into a game that I didn't look at first of all, but I like your thought in Pirates and Yankees, and you got a Yankee offense that's struggling mightily right now. You got a guy in Ashcraft who's throwing really well, as is Ryan Weathers, for what it's worth. Handicap this first five angle in Pirates-Yankee series opener tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go first five under. Now, 4.5 is a little more juice now. You're up to like -135. I see DraftKings is 140. Shop around. I think FanDuel might have a little bit of a better number than that. But I like that 4.5. I always talk about this, that 4.5 is often the winning number, that half a run where both pitchers can give up multiple runs. You feel like neither guy was dominant, lights out, and you still win that bet. So 4.5, a key number in the first five. And you mentioned it, the Yankees just aren't hitting. Occasionally they run into a solo homer. Jazz Chisholm last night at the end of the game. Occasionally, you know, you got Friday night, they got bad defense where the Dodgers botched the ball in the outfield, then they got a pass ball. That's how they scored that run. Other than that, they're just not scoring. Other than the Nationals bullpen, it seems like, and that was like a lot of their runs, a lot of their production, a lot of their wins the last month, they're not scoring against anybody. They were able to get off the mat and score a bunch of runs against a horrible Nationals bullpen Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and swept them heading into the All-Star break. But other than that, they just aren't swinging the bats. There's too many outs in that lineup. There's too many holes. There's no pop. They misjudge. They misstand. Rice has cooled off a little bit. Again, he was good last week, but there's just, you know, Bellinger hasn't been great, even though he's All-Star Game MVP. So, you know, Ashcraft has thrown incredibly well. Weathers has been solid, not great. I'll go under 4.5. I just don't see the Yankees scoring a lot of runs, and it is odd to see the Yankees hosting the Pirates. Yankees hosting the Pirates. No skeins on the mound. Hosting the Pirates, and the game's basically a coin flip. I mean, I remember back in the day when I first started betting, and really up until now, you get the Yankees at home against the Pirates. You're talking about like a $2.53, sometimes a $4 favorite. I mean, those are astronomical prices. For the Yankees and Pirates to be a coin flip is just it's a sign of the times. The Yankees really starved offensively. And the Pirates, I know they got to get Skeens on track. I know Skeens has to be Skeens. That was a bad loss Saturday night, but they're going in the right direction. I hope they get in the playoffs. That is a lot of pitching. If you can get Skeens on track with Ashcraft, with Jones, with Chandler, that's a little 2019 Nats-ish with how dominant and lights out those pitchers can be.
Speaking of the Nats, I wonder if the market hasn't caught up to them. I know they wish they could stay in Sacramento and play the A's every day, but they're going to keep this road trip going. They're going to move on to Colorado here. What do you make of this? Do you think maybe a cheap price on the Nats, at least early in this matchup?
Yeah, I'll go Nats first five. I want to stay away from that hideous, hideous bullpen. But Andrew Alvarez going for the Nationals. He's at least a ground ball pitcher. Now, sometimes it's a fool's errand trying to handicap pitching in Coors because you just, you know what, take whatever you know about pitching and throw it out the window. It's just such a different environment. But I like a ground ball guy in Coors. You stay away from those gaps. That can be very hitter friendly. You just stay away from that thin air and you keep it on the ground. You should be okay. And Alvarez, one of the elite ground ball pitchers in the league, 94th percentile in keeping the ball on the ground. I like that aspect. And Freeland's been bad. The ERA is well over seven. The expected ERA is, you know, 5.5, only throwing 91 miles an hour. He doesn't walk people, which is good, but I want to play on this Nats offense in the first five. I want to avoid the bullpen, so I think playing them in the first five money line is the way to go. And man, if I had to go under over the 12, I'd probably go over the 12. It's so hard to go under a Coors total. And these pitchers, I think, both will allow some runs, some contact. But I just like this Nationals offense on the road with this spot.
I actually got a no-run first inning across in Sacramento yesterday. And I that might be one I frame because you won't see that many opportunities. How about this start to the road trip in the second half? Nationals top scoring offense in baseball. They get Sacramento for three. Then you go to Denver. That is about as good as it gets to get the boys feeling good, especially in a high flying offense there. Hey, that's where I want to pivot to the NFL, because we will start to do that now that the World Cup is behind us. We are just a handful of weeks away from the Hall of Fame game in my neck of the woods in Northeast Ohio. But it's the NFC South I want to start with. You and Dave Ross, you might have been trading some notes together because Dave loves the Falcons this year. You've got a nice, juicy divisional play. Your explanation on the Dirty Birds and what you like in Atlanta.
Yeah, Dave was on the podcast last Sunday and gave this out. And you know what? I'm at the point. I'm coming around to it. I bet it too. Falcons plus 425 to win the division. It's not a division where you probably need to win 11, 12, 13 games. You might be able to win this at 10, maybe 11. And who knows? Bad year, 9-8, I don't think is, you know, completely unreasonable. There's just no great teams in that division. They've got a good defense. They've got skill guys. You just need a quarterback that can be okay, mediocre. And having a living, breathing, functioning head coach, I think, is a positive. They did not have that last year in Raheem Morris. They will have that in Stefanski. Regardless of what you think of Stefanski, whether you like him or don't like him, he's a massive, massive upgrade at head coach. And they almost won the damn division last year. I bet them 100 or 125 to 1 Thanksgiving or that week of Thanksgiving. I remember I was having a good week college basketball. I said, you know what, I'll probably make a donation, but who knows? They immediately lose to the Jets, a game they never should have lost. And they ran the table the West of the way, where if they just had beaten the Jets, they would have won the division. So they were in the mix last year. Wow. They were playing well at the end of the year. I know, different quarterback, but upgraded head coach, winnable division. To me, a little over 4-1. That's just too high with all of their talent and with how, you know, watered down that NFC South is.
The defense rests right there with that statement on the Atlanta Falcons right there with you. What about the Vikings in the Central? Because I feel like we're all talking about the Lions and the Bears to try to repeat, and certainly Green Bay. But are you looking maybe at the Vikings as the little engine that could at quarterback this year, literally and figuratively?
I love that you called it the Central. You know, let's just go back to calling it the Central. We'll all do it together. It'll be a movement that we call it the NFC Central.
Bring it back.
I'm with you. I like the Vikings. I think this is just, again, a number that's too high where, all right, Green Bay, you know, they had a habit for blowing leads. Who knows when Parsons is going to be back? They've got pass rush issues. The Lions maybe missed their window. The Bears, probably some regression with a harder schedule and all the close wins they had last year. Minnesota was 14-2 and playing for the one seed 2 years ago. I know that's Darnold, different quarterback, but another team similar to Atlanta. Good skill guys, good guys on defense. I think the defense could be really good here. A pretty good coaching staff. I think O'Connell is a little bit overrated when you look at his, you know, 5 years or so in the NFL. He hasn't won a playoff game, hasn't really come close, and his big games have been bad. But Flores is an elite defensive coordinator. I wouldn't be surprised if this Minnesota team got okay quarterback play, won 11 or so games, and somehow won the division. I just think that 5-1 or so is a little high.
If we can go back to the NFC Central days, that means we could do realignment again. That means the Cardinals would go back to the NFC East and give the Cowboys a couple more wins. I'm all for turning back the clock on the old divisions in the NFL. Will, it's a great podcast. Check it out. The Should Have Been More pod. I was listening to it on the way in. Great conversation you had with Tim Murray up there right now talking all things college football. Appreciate you. As always, give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill. Our best bets, they're coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. I mentioned the Circa Survivor documentary. It is back for another season here, Jensen. This one is bigger than ever. 7 all new episodes kick off every Wednesday, starting July 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern. Episode 1 is going to take you inside the growth of the most electrifying contest in sports betting. I would beg to say I would challenge you to find a better one. Now, with $18.7 million on the line and the massive new Grandissimo format raising the stakes even higher, follow the sharp minds and bold personalities who think they've got what it takes to go the distance this year. Whether you play Circa Survivor yourself or just love the drama of a season-long grind, this is, in fact, much must-watch TV. Check it out every Wednesday starting next week at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. I will say that we got a sneak peek here at the network, Jensen. It is fantastic. Cannot wait for the general public to see what we've already been privy to.
Looking forward to it. And again, some of the great acting from our talent, not only on the shows they do, but also when the biggest of lights are on them. Well done to our great colleagues here on the channel for putting in yet another outstanding edition of that Circus Survivor documentary, for sure.
It is fantastic. I think everybody out there is going to be highly entertained by it. So check it out. It's starting next Wednesday. Hey, we've really been overwhelmed with the response we've gotten since we started this a couple weeks ago here by the books at VSiN.com. You can reach out to Jensen and myself. We try to get back to as many people as we can. So we do appreciate everybody that emails us in. Please just include your name, your city, and the state that you're emailing from. We're going to try to read those as we can as the show goes here each and every day. But we mean it from the bottom of our hearts. It really does. The show is nothing without you guys at home. So we appreciate everybody that chimes in. I did get one, Jensen, that I wanted to read to everybody here. And I mentioned earlier that with the Circa contest that we have, that you can come to any studio that you want. If you win that contest and you would get, you know, a tour of the studio, that could be in Las Vegas. You could also come here to the Mint Gaming Hall. This came to me from Minnesota Mo. And Mo, thank you for your service. He thanked me for mine. He and his wife, Lynn, are going to come visit right here at the Mint Gaming Hall. And he said, we got a chance to meet Mitch and Paul back in 2021. It was so much fun. Plus, Lynn, this is Minnesota Mo's wife, is a big Cowboys fan. And even though we're both here from the land of 10,000 lakes, and please say hi to our favorite closer, Jensen Lewis, of course. That would be you. So Minnesota Mo, really appreciate the kind words. And when he and Linda come here, when they come here, I will give them a tour right here of our studio at the Mint Gaming Hall. So we appreciate everybody chiming in. And if you're in the area, come on by. Don't be a stranger, like Minnesota Mo. And I'll try to do my best to give you the best up close and personal view of Circa Sports and the VSiN studio here in Kentucky. Jensen, we got another one that I know caught your attention as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike in Calgary. Again, when we did our VSiN MLB betting guide, Dave, Adam Burke and I kind of putting both of our expertises, if that's a word, I just made it up. Very good. Adam is really heavy on the analytics side. I, of course, bring both the experience and the credibility on that front with the wagering and the math that kind of makes sense to me. In a great email from, again, Mike in Calgary, he says, great show, guys. I'm in Calgary. Comes on at 5 a.m. every morning by the books does. I record it and watch later. I love both you guys, but I have to thank you personally, Jensen, for suggesting Hunter Goodman if you got him to go over his home runs around the 32 mark. I got him at 27.5. He hit 3 homers yesterday to go over his regular season home run prop easily. And Mike apparently put a substantial chunk of change on it. He says, easiest future ever. Thanks again. Keep up the good work. Mike, we appreciate you. Again, if you can't watch us in real time, for those of you on Rogers Sportsnet, you can always DVR it and be able to watch us back. So that was a great, great note to get. I just got another one, Dave, and this is going to blow your mind. This is why we do the show. When you take advantage of some of these promos, and especially on DraftKings, where they do a king of the course for these golf tournaments, Michael Sutcliffe is sending us this feedback email to buy the books at VSiN.com. He goes, hey, Jensen, love the show. I wake up yesterday and I see I have a free bet from DraftKings. Usually 25 or 100 bucks is typical. But I hit the bonus on the king of the course with the highest amount of birdies by Jackson Suber. That is meaning that he got $27,000 in free bets, Dave. He got $27,000 free bets. Okay. So he had Suber first round in some special. He played six of the $1,000 free bets in parlays yesterday. He went 3-3. Then he says, now I have a Lions Super Bowl bet for $76,000 and a Yannick Sinner U.S. Open tennis bet to win it at $21,000. Holy hell. Well done, Michael Sutcliffe. So, hey, this is why we say you get those opportunities to play the promos, go out and do it. And a really cool email there from Michael to get. But again, VSiN.com. If you want to get a lot of those wagers, Dave puts them in before the golf tournaments. If you want to tail those are great. But again, keep the emails coming. They've been great. Buy the books at VSiN.com.
You know what's so beautiful about that win for the most birdies for young Jackson Suber there from Tampa, Florida? Remember, we ran some sound from Jackson on Friday's show, Jensen. He got to England for the first time on Monday. And he said, you know, I've never been here. And well, how'd you prepare for the tournament? Well, I watched the holes on YouTube. I mean, that's how he got ready for this, to cash that ticket for the most birdies. Yet, even with a disappointing Sunday, four over par, you still cash that big ticket for the most birdies. Fantastic wager, Michael, and thank you for the email. We do appreciate you chiming in as well. Jensen, some of our best bets that you've got out there, I know certainly in Major League Baseball, we just had the great Will Hill on as well, and he's going to be looking to some of those first five unders as well. And I know you like some of those too, that maybe runs at certain spots and certain really good pitching matchups could make runs at a premium today.
Okay, let's start with the hottest team in baseball. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Boston, going for 14 straight wins.
Unreal.
All they got to do is take down the second hottest team in baseball. The Baltimore Orioles are 10-3 since July 1st. And so we have a 13-1 club against a 10-3 club in that timeline, squaring off at Fenway Park tonight. Peyton Tolley going to get the ball for the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox are 26-19-3 to the under as a home team this year. So I do like the nine. The 8.5, I kind of want to stay away from those half totals. I want to have the option for a push just in case of late offense. So I'd advocate for an under nine if you can find it. But I am in on the Red Sox to make it 14 in a row. I'll play them on the money line, minus $1.41. I think this is one of the great stories here in the last handful of weeks. They were at one point, Dave, 15.5 games back in the American League East in the middle of June. They are now six games back entering play today and would hold the final wild card spot in the American League if the playoffs started today. Wild, wild changing of events that have really put Boston on this meteoric rise. Also a good one, potentially a National League Championship Series preview at Citizens Bank Park tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the Dodgers and the Phillies have. Remember, Dodgers day-night double dip in the Bronx yesterday. They will send out Emmett Sheehan for the mound for their starting pitcher tonight. Phillies, you don't usually get this short of a price on Christopher Sanchez as a home favorite, but the Phillies are 26-16 in that regard. The road dog nature for the Dodgers tonight, only one time this year has that happened before, Dave. Yes, the Dodgers are 1-0 in their only time that they were a road underdog. I don't see it happening tonight. I think the Phillies actually win by multiple runs. So I played an alternate spread here. I played the Phillies minus one at plus $1.12. I think they get it done. I think Christopher Sanchez has a little bounce back effort from what was a dismal outing in the All-Star game. Just like the matchup, and you get that little road weary day-night double dip. Long day at the ballpark for the Dodgers yesterday. I think the Phillies capitalized. So Phillies minus one, plus $1.12 at DraftKings tonight.
Very quickly, Fastball Freddy is going to be back in Milwaukee going up against really arguably maybe the best pitcher in all baseball and Jacob Mizorowski these days. The Miz, 217, come back here and Freddy and the Mets is plus $1.77. Does that feel cheap to you? Normally you don't look at a $2 betting favorite and say that's cheap. Down to 190 in certain spots, Jensen, is that affordable?
I think you got to play either the alternate minus one or you take your shot on the Miz just dominating and you play the plus money on the -1.5. That would be where I would go tonight. And let's see if the extra rest here for Jacob Mizorowski has helped him. So it might be a good live bet opportunity. If Milwaukee gets behind early, I still think that they got a great chance to win this one tonight.
Take a look at that total, 7, if you've been watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, 7.5's out there as well. That's a big difference out there in the betting market as well. Chance of great stuff, again, as always, my friend. We'll do it again tomorrow. But again, if you want more VEASAN on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, you can also get it at VEASAN.com, the VEASAN Watch app. We've got a numbers game, and guess who's back? Back again. Gil Alexander back in the saddle with Kelly Bidlin. Greg Peterson's going to be on the program, and Aaron Schatz as well, talking NFL. It's all next right here on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.